Hello and thank you for downloading Sporting Witness from the BBC World Service. Today we go back to September 1988 and one of the biggest scandals in the history of sport, the moment Ben Johnson was disqualified from the Olympics for doping. Simon Watts has been listening to BBC interviews with the Canadian sprinter.
The mind is very powerful, so you have to have a positive mindset, and you've done your training, you're in good shape, you're fast, just put everything together.
It's the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul, the final of the 100 metres. Ben Johnson, a 26-year-old Jamaican-born Canadian, is feeling confident ahead of a showdown with his arch-rival Carl Lewis of the USA.
Couple times warming up, he glanced me, he looked at me all the time with the side of his eyes, but I know that he's looking at me.
After the tense build-up, Johnson, Lewis and their six rivals got away first time.
When the men say, take your marks, I was right behind everybody. So that means when everybody goes into blocks, I want to freeze them as much as possible. And when I go in the blocks, I know exactly what I'm going to do and know exactly what's going to happen. So I just wait for the gun and just react as fast as I can and just accelerate to top speed in that short period of time.
Johnson exploded out of the starting blocks, using all the strength in his powerful body. In a split second, he'd opened up a lead on Lewis, and the rest of the race felt like a dream.
I feel like a rocket. No one would have that feeling that I felt. It's a beautiful feeling. It's like in the middle of the ocean with no one around you. You're just there, just in your own zone.
As he crossed the line, Johnson raised his arm in the air in triumph. Defeated, Lewis gave him a look of total disbelief. Johnson now had an Olympic gold medal and a new world record of 9.79 seconds. But Dick Pound, then the head of the Canadian Olympic Committee, says he immediately sensed something was wrong.
After the medal presentation, he came down and was walking out, and before he had finished crossing the track and getting into the stands, he had taken off the medal, which struck me as somewhat odd.
2 days later, Pound was at an event hosted by the head of the International Olympic Committee, Juan Antonio Samaranch.
We were at lunch with the board of directors of Coca-Cola, and as I came in to Samaranch's suite, which is where the lunch was, he said, Dick, something terrible has happened. And I said, what? Has somebody died? What? He said, no. He said, it's worse. It's Ben Johnson. He's tested positive. And I remember saying, oh, no. Then we had to go through this lunch. And all these people are saying, oh, isn't it wonderful how Ben Johnson beat that dreadful Carl Lewis? And we're so happy for you and for Canada. And there you are saying, oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Knowing that the stuff has or is about to hit the fan.
I've just been handed a piece of paper here that if it's right, it'll be the most dramatic story out of these Olympics or perhaps any others. It says, Ben Johnson of Canada has been caught taking drugs and is expected to be stripped of his 100 metres gold medal, according to International Olympic Committee sources. A report from the IOC...
The most famous cheat in athletics had started his career in suburban Toronto. The shy son of Jamaican immigrants, Ben Johnson struggled to adjust to life in Canada. He found his salvation in running.
My high school was participating in some region meets here. I won the 200 and the 100 metres with a ribbon, first ribbon I ever have, and I still have them. My brother was a runner, and I was trying to follow him, and then he started to talk to me about he wants me to come out and look to see if I like it, and I said, okay.
A coach called Charlie Francis took Johnson under his wing. Francis believed that most international sprinters of that era were on drugs, and that to compete on an equal footing, his athletes had to do the same.
Well, I laid out the facts for the athletes as they reached a level that I considered high enough to know about it. In his case, he was 20 years old. He'd already run 10.25 seconds. He was a high-level athlete who had a chance to move up if he was prepared to do what other athletes were doing.
He said, hey, you know, you can think about it now and tell me what you think of it. And then about almost a month ago later, I said, okay, let's try it. Why should I? Being honestly bust my tail for training for so many years when those guys are taking a shortcut.
Once he was on anabolic steroids, Johnson could train harder and his times improved rapidly. He lowered the world record to 9.83 and was able to defeat the great Carl Lewis, who'd won four golds at the 1984 Olympics. The two men became fierce rivals on the track and bitter enemies off it.
Carl Lewis always complaining. He doesn't like to see someone else be better than him. And you can tell by seeing his face what type of person he is. When we have a chance to race, I just want to beat him, saying that this is my time. Your time was then. This is my time.
But after his victory in Seoul, Johnson time didn't last long. Within 48 hours, he'd tested positive for a steroid called stanozolol.
Well, Charlie knocked on my door about 7 o'clock in the morning, said I test positive. And I said that it can't be. And my mother was in the room. My mother put her hands over her mouth and said, "Oh, my God." And I looked at my mother right in the eyes and said that, "Don't worry, Mom, no one died. We're going to get out of this."
The man who had to try to defend Johnson was Dick Pound of the Canadian Olympic Committee.
They developed the theory of this, the mysterious person in the room where you wait before you provide your sample. Somebody dressed in a tracksuit who seemed to make a point of sitting near Ben and who offered to get him a beer from the fridge. And maybe that was the idea, or that was the person who did it. I said, "Well, do we know who this is?" "No, we don't." And I can remember saying at the time, "Well, folks, you're not giving me any bullets to shoot here. I mean, what am I going to do?"
The IOC Medical Commission discussed all arguments presented by the Canadian delegation, especially the statement that the substance in question might have been administered after the competition by a third party. The steroid profile, however, is not consistent with such a claim. The IOC Medical Commission recommends the following sanction: disqualification of this competitor from the Games of the 24th Olympiad in Seoul.
It was not a happy homecoming for Ben Johnson. Returning to Toronto, he ran the gauntlet of cameras and reporters, yet the questions won't go away. The debacle has all of Canada talking, and none of it with pride. This from a schoolroom in Nova Scotia.
Is Ben Johnson our hero now?
No.
When Ben Johnson did finally talk, he denied everything.
"People who know me in Jamaica and people who know me here know I would never take drugs. I've never, ever knowingly taken illegal drugs. And I would never embarrass my family, my friends, and my country, and the kids who love me."
But Johnson changed his story a year later during a public inquiry in Canada. He admitted to long-term steroid use, but he still denies ever taking stanozolol, the particular type that the IOC found in his bloodstream. Johnson argues to this day that he was made a scapegoat.
"Once of the thing that really, really hurts me is what everybody was doing the same thing, and they singled me out and put me on the in the front row and leave me in the middle of the river. But I guess I was a Canadian, Jamaican, black boy that beat Americans."
Since 1988, most of the sprinters in that 100-metre final have been linked with doping. As for Johnson himself, he attempted a comeback in the 1990s, but failed another drugs test. Nonetheless, the Canadian still thinks he's the greatest sprinter of all time.
"I'm very happy what I've accomplished, no matter what happened. Even today, people say that I'm still the best ever sprinter they've ever seen. And in my heart, I know that I'm the best sprinter ever in a 100-metre dash."
Ben Johnson ending that edition of Sporting Witness from Simon Watts. For our complete range of downloads and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.